Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to Splendors of the Sahaba, the show where you learn more about the Sahaba, get inspired by their stories, and inshallah have an increase in faith and love for them. I'm Ustaz Muhammad Luqman Hakim bin Ruslan. In today's episode, we'll be talking about Sayyidina Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu an, a martyr, a shaheed who contributed to the cause of spreading Islam. The companion who did not compromise his belief till the last of his breath. But before we look into how that happened, let us know more about Khubayb and his virtues. His name is Khubayb bin Adi bin Malik bin Amir radiallahu an al-Ansari. He was from the tribe of Al-Aws, from the people of Ansar. And he was known for his bravery and patience, especially on the battlefield. He was also one of the early people to embrace Islam. And he had fought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the great battle of Badr and also the battle of Uhud. Our story begins in the fourth year of Hijrah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received guests whom requested representatives who could teach Islam back to their people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected Khubayb bin Adi and a few people to complete this mission. And the undertaking of this particular mission was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah in his book As-Sahih. It was narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out 10 men under the command of Asim bin Thabit al-Ansari, the grandfather of Asim bin Umar bin al-Khattab. In another narration, it was said that they were sent on a mission after the War of Uhud. When they reached a place called Al-Hadah, between Usfan and Makkah, their presence was made known to a sub-tribe of Hudhayl called Banu Lihyan. So, they sent about 100 archers after them, the people of Banu Lihyan. And these archers traced the footsteps of the Muslims, which was Khubayb and also Asim and the men, till they found the traces of dates which they had eaten at one of their camping places. The archers said, "These dates are of Yathrib, or also known as Medina," and went on tracing the Muslims' footsteps. When Asim and his companions became aware of them, they took refuge in a high place. But the enemy encircled them and said, "Come down and surrender. We give you a solemn promise and a pact that we will not kill any one of you." Asim bin Thabit, who led the Muslims at that point of time, including Khubayb, said, "O people, as for myself, I will never get down to be under the protection of the disbeliever. O Allah, inform your prophet about us." So the archers threw their arrows at them and martyred Asim. They killed Asim and he passed on as a shaheed. Three of Asim's men came down to surrender to the people of Banu Lihyan, accepting their promise and their covenant. And they were Khubayb, Zaid bin Ad-Dathina, and also another man. When the archers got hold of them, they untied the strings of the arrow bows and tied their captives with them. And the third man, aside from Khubayb and also Zaid bin Dathina, the third man said, "This is the first proof of treachery, that these people are breaking their promises. And by Allah, I will not go with you, for I follow the example of these." He meant the martyred companions. The archers dragged him and struggled with him till they subdued and killed him as a shaheed. So it was left only Khubayb bin Adi and also Zaid bin Ad-Dathina. And both Khubayb bin Adi and Zaid bin Ad-Dathina were taken away by their captors and later on they were sold as slaves in Mecca. This was after the event of the Battle of Badr, the Great Battle of Badr. And the sons of Al-Harith bin Amr bin Nawfal bought Khubayb, for he was the person who had killed their father, Al-Harith bin Amr, on the day of Badr. We pause the reading of this hadith for a while to highlight that Khubayb had been taken captive and was sold as a slave to the son of the man he had killed in a war. Imagine being a person facing such odds. Thoughts of dread must have entered your mind. you would also feel doom and desperation creeping in. However, for the companion Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu anh, he stuck to his virtues and the teachings of Islam. Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his heart. This brings us to two virtues of Khubayb. The first one was his amanah, or his honor as a Muslim, and his trustworthiness as a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We continue the aforementioned hadith to prove this point. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh said that Khubayb remained imprisoned by the family of Al-Harith bin Amr till they decided unanimously to kill him. One day, Khubayb borrowed from a daughter of Al-Harith a razor blade for shaving and cleaning himself, and she lent it to him. By chance, while she was inattentive, her little son went to Khubayb bin Adi, and she saw that Khubayb had seated him on his thigh while the razor was in his hand. She was in so much terror that Khubayb noticed her fear and said, "Are you afraid that I will kill him? Never would I do such a thing." Subhanallah. A person given the death sentence, yet he did not take advantage of a small child to leverage on the situation he was in. That was our companion Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu an. Also, his second virtue, that it was said that he had a karama. And a karama is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it can be as an incident that defies logic but made possible because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it. Karama can be such a thing as walking on water and making supplication that is immediately answered, and this only happens to those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors, his awliya. Continue in the hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the daughter of Al-Harith said, "By Allah, I had never seen a better captive than Khubayb. By Allah, one day I saw him eating from a bunch of grapes in his hand while he was fettered with iron chains. And at that time, there was no fruit in Mecca." She used to say, "It was food Allah had provided Khubayb with." Subhanallah. Khubayb had grapes where there were none given to him and none growing in Mecca. This was proof of him being special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of Khubayb's virtues was also that he was mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 172 to ayah 174, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم. Which means, as for those who responded to the call of Allah and His Messenger after their injury, those of them who did good and were mindful of Allah will have a great reward. Those who were warned, "Your enemies have mobilized their forces against you, so fear them." The warning only made them grow stronger in faith, and they replied, "Allah alone is sufficient as an aid for us, and He is the best protector." So they returned with Allah's favors and grace, suffering no harm, for they sought to please Allah, and surely Allah is the Lord of infinite bounty. Surah Ali Imran, ayah 172 to ayah 174. So this was also one of Khubayb's virtue, that he was one of the people meant in the verses mentioned. And through the ordeals that Khubayb went through as a captive by the people of Mecca back then, by the family of Al-Harith, it was finally time for him to be sentenced to death. So as per mentioned the hadith narrated by Imam Bukhari, that they took him to Al-Hil out of Mecca, a sanctuary to martyr him. And a narration said that they were sent to be crucified in Tan'im, just Khubayb and also Zaid bin Ad-Dathina. Khubayb requested then from his captors that he were to be allowed to perform 2 raka'ah prayer. He said, "Allow me to offer a 2 raka'ah prayer." They allowed him and he prayed 2 units of supererogatory prayers and then said, "By Allah, had I not been afraid that you would think I was worried, I would have prayed more." Then he invoked a prayer upon them saying, "O Allah, count them and kill them one by one and do not leave any one of them." And he recited his famous last words, "Walastu ubali hina uqtalu muslima ala ay shiqqin kana lillahi masra'i wa dhalika fi dhatil ilahi wa an yasha yubarik ala awsali shilwi mumazza'i." Which means, as I am martyred as a Muslim, I do not care in what way I receive my death for Allah's sake, for this is for the cause of Allah. If He wishes, He will bless the cut limbs of my body. Then Uqbah bin Al-Harith went up to him, he went up to Khubayb bin Adi, and he killed him. It is notable here to mention that it was Khubayb who set the tradition of praying for any Muslim to be martyred as a shaheed in captivity before he is executed. That was the story of Khubayb bin Adi, the way he sacrificed his life for Islam. And he persevered till the end and not relinquishing the religion that he believed in. One highlight of Khubayb's life was his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was once when the pagans asked him, when he was about to be crucified, they asked him, "Atuhibbu anna Muhammadan makanak wa anta fi baytik?" Would you like Muhammad to be in your place right now to be crucified and you were to be at home? In which Khubayb replied, "La wallah." He said, "No, by Allah's name, I would not like so. I would not want so. I would not want that the Prophet ﷺ sacrificed even a thorn to be pierced at the sole of his feet." And the pagans laughed at him. But subhanallah, we see that Khubayb loved the Prophet so much that he did not even want a thorn to pierce the skin of the Prophet ﷺ while he was about to be crucified, while his limbs were about to be severed. All he could think of was the safety of the Prophet ﷺ. And this brings us to the current situation that we are here nowadays. The belief that we have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love that we have for the Prophet ﷺ, how much of it do we have that we are able to do such a commitment like how Khubayb did? Are we able to make a sacrifice in the name of Islam? Are we able to persevere in the name of Islam? I'm not saying that we should lay our lives on the line. That would be something that is quite unapplicable for today's time and age. But there are certainly many things that we could do to compensate this. For example, the money that we have, how much have we done charity with it? The body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how much have we devoted it to prayer, to the 5 daily prayers, to the night prayer? The food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how much have we sacrificed the food that we do not eat the food, but we fast in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saving the food for later days or giving it to those who would need it more? Subhanallah. All of these questions about perseverance, about sacrifice, and we think about how the companions did it, their situation and their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are none closer to them. But as Muslims, as people who would like to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believe in him, emulate his sunnah, we must make effort, my dear friends, to strive and inshallah achieve, if not all, at least a bit of some of the splendors of the Sahaba. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi